The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cup Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's American Express. And joining me to break it all down, it's him. It's Kyle Porter, KP. We got to sift through a weird leaderboard situation here.
This is why strokes gained exists, Rick.
It's the perfect example of why strokes gained exists this very week, yes.
Because we can't figure out, we got different courses, and so... Yeah, it's just like if you shot three strokes worse on PGA West, you were the almost the same as shooting three strokes better on La Quinta.
Correct. So let's just get this out of the way to start with. Three courses in action, which is kind of nice because all the tee times are within a two-hour window. So it's kind of nice. They're all out there at the same time. But three different courses. The Stadium course, that is your host course. That is the most difficult course, or at least it was on this Thursday. It played nearly a shot under par, one solitary stroke. The Nicklaus Tournament course, KP, that was much easier, played about 2.5 shots under par on average. And La Quinta played about 2.9 strokes under par. So the two non-stadium courses were where the majority of the scoring opportunities came on average.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, PGA West is traditionally, I think we talked about this, just a lot more difficult. Psychologically, like, would you rather be... So Joseph Bramlett shot 7 under at PGA West.
Correct.
Sam Ryder did too. So would you rather be one of those guys, or would you rather be Patrick Cantlay? Well,
I would rather be Patrick Cantlay scenario.
Take his skill out of it. We'll say Lee Hodges. Would you rather be Lee Hodges shooting 10 under at La Quinta?
Personally, I would rather be Lee Hodges 10 under at La Quinta, and I would look at Joseph Bramlett's score and say, wow, a 65 is out there at the Stadium course when I get there. That's the way that I would look at it. But I imagine a lot of guys are going to look at that quite differently.
I would look at it the other way. I'd rather be Joseph Bramlett. I would say, I shot 65 at the Stadium course. That's out of the way. Now I can feast on the other two courses, right?
Yeah, but don't you feel like, wow, I have to feast on the other two courses?
Yeah. By Saturday night, everybody's done the same thing anyway. So I don't know. I don't know if there's like one. That would be an interesting study to see if like it affects like psychologically. It's like the thing where if you change the par of a hole, it will change the scoring, like what the scoring average or how many like birdies versus pars are made or pars versus bogeys. Whatever. You know what I'm trying to say.
I do.
I wonder if psychologically, like where you shot your low score affects how you play in the next. There might not be enough data on it, but it'd be interesting.
I would also like to know, again, might not be enough data on it, but like if you get to play the Stadium course both Saturday and Sunday, you get to play it two rounds in a row. I wonder if that's better than playing it Thursday and then having to go back to it on Sunday.
I mean, can you imagine like in football, them being like, well, you're playing on a different field today and the conditions will be different. Might be wet. It might be different than when these guys play.
I mean, might be 150 yards long. Who knows?
It's just, we, again, like this is the whole premise of like my last year of stuff, but like we normalize it. Cause we're like, oh yeah, they're playing on three courses, but like to do that in a different setting, in a different sport, you're like, that's absurd. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. If you're not into kind of the strokes gain conversation, Kenny Kim tweeted out something that I think puts it into perspective as well. Says essentially, if your golfers, maybe you're backing them for fantasy purposes or in wagers, are starting slow on the stadium course, that's okay. Only 55% of the golfers on the stadium course are currently under par, while nearly 80% of the golfers on the other two courses are under par. We know par is a social construct, but that is one very interesting way to look at it.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. And I think that's right. It makes deciphering these first two or three days from a betting or any kind of perspective, just it's hard. It's why strokes gained is like valuable to look at, because it provides some good context for kind of what you're seeing on the leaderboard.
It's like when in college football, they don't do the first playoff ranking until like the fifth week of the season. So you see a little bit first, then they give you the rankings. It's like, we don't know who's winning this golf tournament until 54 holes have been played, is essentially the way this is. It feels like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. We know Phil Mickelson is not winning the golf
tournament. Oh my God. I had to furiously scroll for my pick to win on the leaderboard today. Yeah. Matthew Wolff, we'll get to him.
He's not winning the golf tournament either.
We will get to him in just one second. But let's start at the top as we always do. Patrick Cantlay, I've heard of him, 10 under par, along with Lee Hodges, additionally 10 under par. So we've got two guys out at La Quinta shooting 62s. Let's just start with Lee Hodges. We always talk about Patrick Cantlay. I love the fact that we do these round-by-round recaps and we get to talk about other guys. Lee Hodges, currently the 312th ranked player in the world, got onto our tour, the PGA Tour, via the Korn Ferry Tour. He won an event in 2020. He finished T4 at the Korn Ferry Tour Championship just at the end of 2021. Now starting really his first full foray as a PGA Tour member.
Yeah, he's interesting. You know, the data boys, we're probably data boys, I guess, but
I would hope to be lumped into the data boys conversation. Yeah.
The data boys don't love him. You know, if you look at his, and again, statistics, when you're coming out or when you're transitioning from Korn Ferry to PGA Tour at a young, relatively young age, it's there's not enough data there, but his numbers are not great. He's kind of an accurate off the tee guy, but doesn't hit his irons that well, which is
not
the opposite of the modern PGA Tour formula right now. But he played great on Thursday. It was interesting. I was looking him up because I'm like, he finished, I think, top 10 in Korn Ferry last year, but I don't follow Korn Ferry a ton. Probably need to more. He played college golf at not one but two different schools in Alabama. He started at UAB, and then I didn't realize this, Rick, but he was actually on the 2018 Alabama team. He was a senior that year, so he's only like 25 years old, but
yeah,
he was a senior that year, and he played in the national championship against Oklahoma State at Carston Creek, which I was at. And he got smoked by Victor Hovland in the finals.
Which is not really a knock against Lee Hodges. Let's be real. A lot of guys are going to get smoked by Victor Hovland.
I just thought it was interesting. The OSU team won all five of those matches. Hovland and Hodges were the first one out. And and Hovland beat him. But, the trajectory here to be 25. And I don't care about one round on the tour, but he played really well on the Korn Ferry last year, like 17 top 25s and 36 starts, something like that. Like basically half his starts. I guess that was over 2 years, right? Because they did the kind of the super season.
It was a super season, yeah.
And he's a solid player. This would be an unbelievable win for him at that age with the lack of experience that he has.
Yeah, certainly plenty of golf to be played if you are Lee Hodges or anybody else in the field. Patrick Cantlay, also a 62 at La Quinta. And I don't know, KP, made par on his last five holes of the day. Maybe this guy stinks. Let me see what he did on the first. Oh, no. Had a stretch of golf from 3 through 7 where he went birdie, 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 eagle, birdie. Then went 3 in a row, 11, 12, 13. It is just – It's never ending with this guy. He's relentless.
He is relentless. He was my pick to win this week. This looks like my mini golf scorecard.
Yeah, seriously, look at this thing.
I'll make twos and threes in mini golf. He makes them in PGA Tour golf. It is interesting. You know, you get it's easy to get excited on Thursday. We're on, if you're watching on YouTube, we're on the Data Golf win expectancy page right now, and he's only up to 35%, which is just not very much, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of different reasons for that. John Rahm is a reason. The fact that he was playing at La Quinta is a reason. But yeah, it's just he's. I don't know. I have. We talked about this, I think, during Tournament of Champions, but I have very mixed feelings about Patrick Cantlay. So bad in the majors last year for a top five player, and yet in these regular tour events, he's just kind of automatic, or he has been for the last 6 months.
He's super special. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I mean, he was great again on Thursday. What was the, wasn't it Rahm versus Cantlay in a heads up matchup?
Yeah. Rahm was a big favorite, minus 160. Cantlay was like plus 130, if I remember correctly.
And you said Cantlay, right?
I did indeed.
Yeah. I like that. I liked it at the time. I really like it now.
Well, I really like it now, but I'm still worried. John Rahm, 6 under 66, certainly didn't stumble out of the gate. That's a really good way to get started. He's 6 under at La Quinta, so that's 3 shots better than the field over there. He's lurking, I imagine, as we continue to play. He's going to continue to matriculate up the leaderboard, right? This is what he does.
Yeah, this is what he does. I mean, producer Jacob, if you can pull up my tweet while I'm talking about it, but he his first 90 holes of the year, 38 birdies, 50 pars, 1 eagle, 1 bogey. Can you imagine making 1 bogey in 90 holes and making as many bogeys as eagles in your first 90 holes of the year?
No, because I made 7 bogeys alone today and 4 doubles, so I'm a little off the pace, I believe.
Yeah, you can't imagine that.
I cannot.
39 under
good
in his first 90 holes. That's crazy. But the craziest number is 17 strokes gained in his first 90 holes. That's like 3.5 basically on the field, which is just a number that, you know, it's weird because if you're existing at that, if you just gain 3.5 strokes every round of your career, you're going to be like the best player in the world by far. But you might not win a ton, and that's kind of like, and what I mean by that is you need to gain 4 or 5 strokes per round to kind of win some of these tournaments. And so I think what we're seeing with Rahm is he's like 3.5, 3.5, 3.5, 3.5, maybe drop down to 3. He needs to have the round where he gains like 6 or 5. That's when you go out and win. So yeah, I think people are kind of looking at him with a little bit of a reputation of like, okay, but win. You know, I know you play good golf, but win. And I think that's fair. But man, the golf has been, it's been so good. It's been unbelievable.
I think I'm on the record saying, I think the most likely scenario is that Rahm has a worse statistical season and wins more this year. Maybe not. Maybe he just goes out and gains 2.5 strokes per round again. And who knows if the wins come or not. But it is, I know it's only 90 holes in, but he is something.
And it's just none of it. Somebody was saying this in my Twitter feed or responding to me or something. It's just like, oh yeah, it's not surprising. You know, it just looks very, I don't want to say easy, but it just looks very normal. It looks very like routine, I guess is probably the right word there, for him to go out and do that. So, yeah, I mean, He's going to be him. I hope it comes down to him and Cantlay, because they, you know, obviously player of the year stuff last year, and they've been the two best players in the world for the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 months, probably. If you just look at kind of their numbers and even their wins. So that would be a fun kind of Sunday duel if we get that.
Unfortunately, we're not going to get a Sunday duel that involves either Matthew Wolf or Phil Mickelson. Let's start with Matthew Wolf, who is currently playing his final hole of the day on the stadium course. And since we've gone on air, his scorecard has gotten worse with a double on 17. He is now 6 over par and literally, I'm not exaggerating, as the time that I speak, in dead last, which I think I might have said, hey, Matthew, I could see Matthew Wolf finishing dead last or winning this week. I didn't really mean dead last, but here we are.
I think I had him in a matchup. I think that was my best bet.
I mean, we knew it was like volatility on volatility on volatility, but
yeah, it's just, it's weird. It's a little, okay, here we go. We got his card pulled up. I mean, that front nine goes out in 40.
He goes out in 40 on a nine that is playing, I mean, it's playing a half a stroke under par. So it's playing 35, and yeah, it loses 4.5 strokes in 9 holes.
Yeah, it's just, it's a little bit, it's kind of an extreme version of what we see from Koepka sometimes, right? Where it's like, hey, I might win by 5, but I might miss the cut by a lot also.
Right, yes. Yeah.
I think Wolf's is more extreme. Like it's less the might win by 5 and more like, oh, I might contend or I might like finish last. So his is like, it's the same extremes. It's just shifted more toward like the bad. And yeah, I don't know. The inconsistency there is, it's great for betting, right? Because you get weird numbers and you can kind of leverage some of the volatility, but it's a little disconcerting when somebody like him and Hovland are kind of going in opposite directions. It seems like in terms of consistency, Hovland's getting better and more consistent, and Wolf seems to be getting at times more volatile as his career as a pro kind of goes on.
Yeah, it's great for betting outrights. If he finishes 154th or 54th or 4th, it's all the same thing. So it is what it is. Now, Phil Mickelson also down there at 6 over. That's a 78 at the La Quinta course, which is even worse place to do it. And it was highlighted or low-lighted in this scenario, KP, by a 9 that he made on number 8. That's a quintuple bogey. That's 5 over. And Phil, I don't want to say he's used to making scores like this, but I'm not sure if you saw the tweet. This is the 11th time Phil has made a 9 or worse on tour.
That's very unsurprising. I'm trying to pull up. Did he give any quotes afterwards?
I didn't see. I don't know.
Let's see here. I doubt it.
Might have skipped media today.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He didn't have any quotes. You said it was the 14th time he's made a 9 or worse?
The 11th time.
11th, okay. I mean, again, like, if you told me, hey, there's somebody who's made 11 9s or worse, I would say probably Matt either him or, yeah, that's true. Kevin Na at the Texas Open. Yeah. I mean, all of this just serves to show how absurd the PGA win was, right?
Correct.
Because it's like he was okay at tournament. He's not a good player. I mean, he's not currently a good player. He's one of the 10 best players of all time, but he's just not good currently. And I just don't know what we're getting out of him this year.
He made an eagle, a birdie, a par, a bogey, a double, and a quintuple. That's a full day.
Psycho scorecard. Shout out Shane Bacon.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at the odds. Our friends over at Caesars Sportsbook, as expected, Patrick Cantlay and John Rahm at the top. Cantlay 2-1. He's at 10 under. John Rahm, 4 shots back. They both played the same course today. 4.5-1, plus 450, and then a gap to Seamus Power, who I fall in love with more each and every single week. He shot a 765 at the Nicklaus Tournament course. He is 14-1, KP. So probably no surprise that our two favorites coming into the event are still our two favorites.
Yeah, just shorter odds. Seamus Power has been, he's been really good recently. I mean, dating I didn't look at his end of the of last year, but he played pretty well at Tournament of Champions, right?
Yeah, played well enough. I think he finished 15th or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, I mean, for him in that field, that's pretty good. I mean, that's, you know, 20 of the better players in the world. So he's interesting. What course did he play today?
The Nicklaus Tournament course.
Okay, so his 7-under was a little bit better than a 7-under at La Quinta would
be. Yeah, about a half a shot or so, a little less.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he's interesting at 14-1. Not just because he's been playing pretty well. Where scroll down a little, producer Jacob. Where's Tom Hoagie? 50. He's interesting. He's T4. He played one of the easier courses also. I don't know. I can't tell which one.
Nicklaus course.
But he's been hitting the ball really well. Joseph Bramlett is interesting also. He's obviously beloved in the he's just one of the guys that's from tee to green. He's awesome. Can't putt. Same story on Thursday. He's over six strokes gained from tee to green and minus strokes putting. But he had the best score of anybody at PGA West. So he's interesting at 33-1. But it's so hard to envision any of these guys beating both Cantlay and Rahm, right?
That's the problem. Yeah. Both of them are there.
I think I think the play there is probably Rahm, just because you're getting him as not the favorite. I mean, the odds are so short, but I like getting him as not the favorite.
Yeah, and he was basically like 5.5-1 before the event started. So you chop a digit off. It's four and a half to one. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. Gained three shots on the field, and he's lurking. Exactly what he's supposed to do. Real quick, KP, as you know, the podcast that my personal podcast, the name 300 Yards to Unknown, that's a nod to Shot Tracker, obviously. The very famous James Hart Dupree, I believe is how he pronounces it, the big hitter, South African, he had two different 406 yards to unknown shots on Thursday. That is, and I track these things, about as impressive as it gets.
406 yards to unknown. I saw he didn't lead the field in driving.
Driving accurate distance?
Distance.
Is it the one where they only counted on two holes?
Yeah, so two holes, he was T5. Luke List was 331. And then driving distance, all drives, he did.
Yeah, he has to be. So yeah, on the fifth hole, 406 yards to unknown to the right. The ninth, 406 yards to unknown to the left. He's got them both covered.
He did not play well. It's honestly, like, what he does is, I think it actually serves... Or it goes to show you like how skilled Bryson is.
I agree.
Right? Because like we talk all the time, Bryson just hits it far or whatever. And you're like, actually, he's like super impressive with everything, like in every other area also. And you get a guy like this who's like longer than Bryson and he shoots what? 5 over, 6 over, 7 over?
4 over.
4 over? Mm-hmm. Loses 5 strokes to the field. It's just... And it's not good, you know. So it shines a light on how skilled guys like Bryson and Rahm and DJ are from 150 and in, when you've got this guy hitting it way past them and losing 5 strokes on approach shots. Like, that's so bad. And but yeah, 400 yards to unknown. You maybe need to change the podcast name.
Yeah, you know what? It's like with inflation, or like as distances get longer on the tour, like I might have to go to like 310, 320, yeah. 35. I mean, I got to keep up at some point.
Yeah, 300 like, yards. 300 is not funny anymore.
It's impressive.
Just, it's routine. Yeah.
Stinks. All right. There's one more guy I want to talk about. He is not in this PGA Tour field, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play, because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
And we're back on Wednesday. That's right. An event that ended on Wednesday. Akshay Bhatia comes through and wins the Bahamas Great Exuma Classic, KP, at 19 years young. And he's kind of been, I don't want to say ridiculed. I don't know what word I'm looking for. The conversation has been interesting around Akshay because he chose to turn professional so early and so young in his career. I believe he was 17 at the time that he did it. And a lot of people had many things, as you can imagine, to say about that. Now a victory on the Korn Ferry Tour, feeling pretty good about himself.
For sure. He's good. I mean, obviously his talent is special. His pedigree is really good. I think it's pretty interesting. I think so. The college thing is, I've become, we don't have time for this, but I've become less just broadly a believer in, there's just a lot more opportunities to go and make a living and a life outside of college than there were 40 years ago, I think, or maybe not 40, maybe like, yeah, maybe 40, 30, 20 years ago. And I think he's doing a good job. Like, I think what he did is very admirable, and it's really cool, and it's risky, but kind of, but like, it's great. I think the hard part that the thing that I have a hard time reconciling is that you're choosing something at 17 that's really lonely. I mean, how many times have we heard from guys on tour and
yeah.
Just everything that goes along with that of how lonely it is. And then guys that have gone to college are like, oh, it's the best experience. Right. So I think in terms of making a living and making a career, like what he did is very admirable and like, I commend it. But then you're like, oh, but did you miss out on like a ton of just cool relationships and memories that you would have had otherwise? So I don't know. I don't know how you reconcile those two things, but I really struggle with how to reconcile them. But I think career wise, I guess what I'm saying is he's going to be fine. He's really good. Obviously, you win a Korn Ferry event at 19. I mean, he's going to be on the tour at 20. I mean, it's Spieth at the John Deere all over again. It feels like he's older than that because he's been in our lives for 2, 3, 4 years, but he's going to be super young on the PGA Tour, which is awesome and super exciting for us to get to cover.
Yeah, different strokes, different paths for everybody. Now, we'll close with this because the list is short in terms of teenagers who have won on the Korn Ferry. Akshay adds his name to the list. He's the third one, KP, so two others have accomplished this before he has, or at least at similar ages.
Your boy Sungjae.
Sungjae is absolutely right. He actually won this event 4 years ago when he was 19 years, 9 months, and 17 days old.
Do you think he knew what the tournament was called, unlike Akshay?
So amazing to start your Instagram video or whatever you're recording. Probably not. Hey, I'm so happy I won the...
Yeah, we'll see you soon. What's up, guys?
Do we have it there, Jacob?
We have the whole thing?
Here it is.
Hi, it's Akshay Bhatia here, your Bahamas Great Exuma Classic winner. Thank you for everyone to support me.
That would mean me like, back for- Welcome, you know, hi, Rick Gaiman here, host of the First Cut podcast.
Sungjae plays in so many, he might not remember either. I mean, they got to all blend together. And Akshay the same. I mean, that dude plays golf all the time. I was a little surprised that Day was the other one. I didn't remember him. I mean, obviously, he was good at a young age, but I just didn't remember that, I guess.
Oh, you don't remember the 2007 Legend Financial Group Classic? You don't remember that one?
I don't. it's good company, though. I mean, I think Akshay is going to be really good. I don't know if he's like a major winner type good, but I think he's going to be a good player on the PGA Tour.
Well, we're going to see a lot more of him in the future, so get ready for that. But KP, right back at it again on Friday. They make the course rotation. We're going to see scores coming in from all over the place, and it should be a blast.
Sorry, I was reading our chat where producer Jacob was making fun of the name of the tournament that Jason Day won in 2007. Yeah, it should be. I hope we get Rom Cantlay, but even if not, it's a good feel. There's a ton of interesting stories at the top, so I'm ready for it.
Post-round recaps coming after each and every round. Producer Jacob not only enters things into the chat that make us laugh, but he also does all the hard work behind the scenes. Kyle Porter can be found on Twitter at KylePorterCBS, and you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.